2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Have your Bibles open. I'm going to actually start reading one verse earlier, but that's okay. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen carefully. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of God. Congregation, it's been said that the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you fall off. And that's exactly what we want to reflect on together this morning. Keeping on moving in the Christian life. Continuing to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. Growing in faith. It's also an opportunity for us this morning, as you may have noticed in the church news, for us to begin reflecting on the mission statement the elders have been working on together over these past 5 or 6 months for our church. That we exist to glorify God by growing in faith, sharing our hope, and serving in love. Our central purpose as a church is, as it always has been, to glorify God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 1. We know it well. What is our chief purpose? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's true of us not just as individuals, but as a church together. We exist to glorify God. That's why we're here, and to enjoy Him. We looked at that theme a few weeks ago. You might remember the pursuit of God's glory from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The whole of life to the glory of God. And in that sense, in many ways, it's a bit of a no-brainer that we exist to glorify God. But how? We exist to glorify God is good, but it needs to be fleshed out. It needs some skin and meat on the bones. How are we going to glorify God as a church? What does glorifying God as a church look like? And that's why we've gone on to give 3 key themes for the Christian life and the Christian church. 3 arenas in which we can glorify God by giving glorifying God some arms and legs to move. We glorify God, you see, as individuals and as a church, when we're growing in faith, when we're sharing our hope, and when we're serving in love. And growing in faith is our theme together this morning. But before we get there, let me just say there are 2 basic ways in which we might grow. We might grow in number, or we might grow in depth. And we do want to grow in number. Not because numbers are all important. We don't want to grow in number to feel good about ourselves and pat ourselves on the back about what we're doing. We want the church to grow because we want God's kingdom to grow through men and women and boys and girls coming to know Jesus. And we want our church to grow because we believe that we have something valuable, something precious to offer. We have a strong Christian world and life view that supports all of life living for Jesus. And so we're not ashamed, and we shouldn't be ashamed, of a desire to grow in number. Or else we should stop mission work, shouldn't we? We should stop mission work. We should stop welcoming visitors if we didn't want to do those things. But growing means a lot more than numbers, because we also grow when we grow in depth. You see, it's to God's glory when His church isn't a mile wide and an inch deep, but rather a church who is filled with people who are growing and maturing and deepening in their faith. Growing in faith is a means of glorifying God. And it's this particular form of growth that we're going to focus on this morning in 2 Peter. Not that the other form of growth is not important or less important. Growing in faith, growing in depth is what Peter calls us to in our text today. but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are two questions we need to ask about this. What does it mean to grow, and why should we grow? And firstly, what does it mean to grow in faith? What does it mean to grow in faith? Well, the first thing I want you to see this morning is that Peter writes this as a command, not a suggestion. That's how he writes it here. A command. He says to God's people, grow. And so spiritual growth, growing in depth, growth in faith, is not something that just happens. It's something that requires effort and attention. It requires obedience. It's something we're to be engaged in constantly, not just every now and again when the fancy strikes us. You see, spiritual growth is a sign of life. It's not an optional extra just for particularly zealous disciples who are a little bit enthusiastic. It's not just something for especially committed people. It's for everyone. For when something stops growing, it starts dying. And you know as well as I do that there are many ways in which we can grow in the Christian faith. God's word in particular calls us this morning in this passage to grow in two particular ways, even though there are many more ways in which we could grow. And one of those ways in which we might grow in faith is to grow in grace. We're to grow in grace, but grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The whole of the Christian life is a life of grace, isn't it? We are saved by grace alone. But that's not the end of grace. We don't just start the Christian life with grace and say, thank you very much, Lord, and now we'll move ahead by our own effort. No, God saves us by grace, and then we continue through the whole of the Christian life by grace as well. And God strengthens us to grow in the graces. We read about those earlier in 2 Peter chapter 1. We grow in the graces of goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. In short, we grow in grace as we grow to be more like Jesus, our Savior. As I said, the good news is that God doesn't just save us by grace and then leave us to run the rest of the Christian race, the Christian life, by our own strength. No, God strengthens us to grow in the graces. God sustains us by grace. He gives us grace for every situation and every challenge of life. But I must warn you that to grow in grace is also costly, because it often involves suffering and experiencing trials. It is when we can do nothing ourselves, when we have reached the limits, when we must depend upon God for everything, when we've reached our limits and we've got nothing left, that's when we grow in grace most of all. But the greatest of graces in which we grow is our increasing awareness of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ Himself. Grace is the foundation of the Christian life in every way imaginable. When you lack an understanding of grace, you start living the Christian life by ticking boxes. Done this, done that. When you lack an understanding of grace, then you run the temptation, the risk in the Christian life of downplaying and minimizing sin because you're not sure how God will react. Why? Because you won't be as free to confess it to God. Why? Because you're afraid of how God might respond. Oh, that we might grow in our understanding of the gracious love of God for us as people in Jesus. We're to grow in grace. Grace, growth and grace that comes to us as a gift from Jesus, our Savior. We're also to grow in faith by growing in knowledge, Peter says. We grow in knowledge. How would we do that? How would we grow in knowledge? How How are we going to do that? Well, we're spoiled for choice when you stop and think about it. One of the primary ways in which we grow in depth, grow in knowledge, grow in faith is through God's Word itself. Peter mentions this earlier in that passage we read from 1 Peter 2. He said this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The pure spiritual milk that Peter commends to us is the Word of God. It helps us to grow up in our salvation. And we can receive this Word, this Gospel, this knowledge in so many different ways. One of those ways is through Bible study with others. If you're not involved in a group of some sort or other where you talk about the Word of God with others, then that would be my encouragement to you this morning to become involved in one this year. Could be through prime timers or our men's study. It could be finding someone to meet together with regularly to read the Word one-to-one. Could be through deciding you'd like us to have a home group again as a church and putting up your hand to help lead or to participate. And I want that encouragement to study the Word with others not to be an encouragement that just goes in one ear and out the other, because already we're tempted to do that, aren't we? That's just, perhaps you're thinking, that's just not really my thing. I know that's not your thing. That's why I'm encouraging you to make it your thing. God wants us to grow together and grow in faith. Another way, of course, is through our own Bible, reading of the Bible. We are spoiled for choice in the ways that we can access the Bible as well. It used to be the only way you could read the Bible was to pick up this book and read. Well, actually, before that, the only way you could read the Bible was to hear somebody reading the Bible because you didn't have one of these books. But now you've got Bible apps on phones, you've got audio Bibles, the internet, as well as this good old-fashioned method where the Word's printed on dead trees. That still works today as well. Bible study, Bible reading, Bible preaching. Preaching's another of the important ways in which God wants us to grow in faith and grow in our knowledge. We have two opportunities to do that each Sunday. Not coming to tick boxes, but to grow. But much more important than all the good preaching you could listen to, or all the good books that you could read, or even the Bible itself, is to know Jesus Christ himself. It's not enough to know about Jesus, as useful as that might be. You need to know Jesus. You need to know him as a person, not just someone you've read about in a book. You need to know him firsthand. So I ask you this morning, if knowing Jesus makes all the difference, do you know him? For you can't grow in faith without knowing Jesus Christ by faith. Go on to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to the glory of God. So we've seen this morning what it means to grow in faith by growing in grace and in knowledge. I want to close this morning by touching briefly on a second and final question, which is this. Why should we grow? Why should we grow in faith? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Why is this important? Why is growing in faith important enough for us to make, as elders, the first key area or arena of our church's mission statement? I mean, they sometimes say, don't they, you know, art for art's sake. I remember a chain of shops called Art for Art's Sake. But it's not to be growth for growth's sake. I've already mentioned obedience this morning, and to be honest, that is sufficient in and of itself. To do something for the sake of duty, out of obedience, isn't a really popular way to try and sell something today. It's a bit of a bad reputation, but it really oughtn't. I want to say to you this morning, it's okay to do something because you ought to do it. It's okay. That's a commendable motivation. Children, God is pleased when you obey your parents, even if you don't want to. God's pleased when you do that. God is pleased when you get up in the morning and go to work, even when you don't feel like it. What I'm saying this morning is that it's not the only reason you have for wanting to grow. for knowledge is useful. And we get one good encouragement to grow when we look back at the previous verse which I read earlier. Therefore, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. See, what Peter's doing is he's warning his readers, warning his listeners to be on their guard against false teachers and error. To be on guard against falling away from the faith. And if you grow in faith, as Peter commends to us here, if you grow in faith, if you grow in grace and knowledge, then you'll be protected, you'll be guarded. And one reason that's the case is because knowledge is not just an academic thing. And learning is supposed to be more than just learning more stuff. No, knowledge is intensely practical. Ideas have consequences. What you believe affects the things that you do and how you live, just as what you do and how you live affects the things that you believe. And so I say this morning, if we grow in faith, then that will change us. If what we read and learn and hear isn't changing us, then I've got to say we're doing it wrong. Because growing in faith will prepare us to serve God in life. Growing in faith will shape us and shape our lives so that our lives are more like Jesus. And there's an evangelistic edge to that as well, isn't there? Growing in faith will help us to withstand temptations and prepare us for persecution. Growing in faith will help others see what a precious thing it is to us to know and to follow Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you are growing in grace into the character of Jesus, if you're experiencing His grace, if you're growing in knowledge, knowing Christ Himself, then you will be very well protected against anything that might lead you astray to the left or to the right. And so, friends, God's Word urges us this morning to grow in faith, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, whom we know by faith. And for us to seek making growing in faith one of the key things that we think about as a church, to strengthen one another, to build ourselves up in the faith, that we might glorify God in every area of our life as a church and our life as individual Christians. So I say this morning, don't fall off your bicycle. Keep on moving. We exist to glorify God by growing in faith. Amen.